Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly cloudy. 36 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 37 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 39 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 36 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Cloudy. 35 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. 34 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 34 degrees.
KCAFCA Mobile.
Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Sorry, I didn't get your call time.
Kilo Charlie 8 Foxtrot Charlie Alpha. Michael.
Kilo Charlie, Fox Trot, Michael. Hope I got that right. Anyway, good morning. Name is Ben here. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. I'm good. I just got off working third shift in Lapeer.
Very cool. I'm about to get shift. The squads will be here in a minute. How long is the drive home? Do you get to go against the usual traffic?
Yep, it's the usual traffic. I go from Lapeer to Burton, and it's about a 20-minute drive. Right now I'm coming up on 15, which is about part way.
You're getting a tiny bit of scratch, but other than that, you sound pretty good. Oh, no, what I mean by usual traffic is how I live south and... I live south and east of where I work, so I'm able to, I guess I kind of mean that the morning traffic isn't, you know, busy the way that I'm going.
Okay, well, in terms of traffic, I'm driving on I-69 West. I am headed back to Burton. That's my home, that's my QTH. And I hope I'm still getting into the repeater.
Yeah, I look a little silly. You can get real scratchy all of a sudden, but I can understand you, buddy.
Okay. Let me see if anybody else wants to jump in. All right. No, I have my HP right now. I'll put my mobile back into my vehicle and bebop down the road that way. Still with me? Tango Charlie 8, Foxtrot, Bay Alpha, monitoring.
Heading DBF.
Oh man, it's wet.
The rain?
There's water falling from the sky.
I'm just glad I washed my truck yesterday, just for this.
Yep. It's the one way you can guarantee crappy weather. Wash the car.
My driveway, like just off my concrete pad, was literally, I almost fell. I had to unload the bed because I had the car seats in it, and took a bunch of coworkers down to dinner last night, and I almost fell every time I walked back there. And I was worried the roads were going to be like that, but roads seem all right. 37 degrees, just a little wet.
Yeah, you know what? I noticed the same thing when I first, you know, went out to start the car this morning. I don't have remote start on this thing. It's a little slick. Oh, man. And then, but now that I'm out here on the road, it's just all wet. I'm showing 39 degrees on the thermometer, so looks like it's just going to be a wet one. But those of us on dirt roads, that means mud.
Don't remind me. I'm dreading the spring where my yard turns into a mud pit.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's dirty, you know, dusty. When it's dry, dust gets everywhere on everything. You just can't keep on top of it. It's so bad. You know, and then your car gets, you know, this coating of dust on it. White vehicles aren't that bad, but if you have black, I like dark vehicles, black, dark blue, you know, and they always show that really well, you know, really bad. So it's, yeah, dirt roads have their share, but they also have less traffic, so that's good. Anywho, but the mud, yeah, right in front, ours is usually pretty good, but right in front of my house, it's been really, really bad this year, and I don't know why that is. They came through and they've filled it and graded it and all that stuff, but just continues to, you know, pothole up. So I don't know what's going on, but never was like that before. Just this year, something weird going on.
Like a sinkhole. How much dirt road do you have? Fortunately, I'm only, I don't know, 200 yards maybe. 300 yards, and then I'm at my house, but that little bit, man, if it's like this and it's warm enough, it's plenty to do damage.
It depends which way I go. If I go out to the main road, which is normally my route, then I'm probably similar, probably a couple of hundred yards. If I, maybe more. Maybe 300. If I go into the subdivision, it paves within, 50, 100. So, depending on which way I go, not either way.
I think the trade-off's worth it. I don't mind living on a dirt road, especially since it's like you. 99% of my driving is pavement, so if I just got to go slow for the last 1% of my drive, I'll take it.
Yep. And where I'm at, you know, there's a lot of traffic, and normally, I don't know if people avoid that road. The problem is that we are like a straight drag strip into the sub. So, you know, if the road conditions are decent, then, everybody, you know, is using that thing like a, and it's a bus route as well for the school. So I wish they would cul-de-sac it, you know, close it off on the close end in going into the sub so that it's, but it's a bus route. They'll never do that. The road is just getting tore up by trucks and cars. Way too much traffic at times.
One time I was getting my hair cut by this pretty little thing at Lady Jane's, and she was talking about where she lived, and she's like, oh yeah, I live on a dirt road. I'm like, oh okay, yeah, same, you know, where at? She goes, Warren. I'm like, what? There's dirt road in Warren? And then you said the same thing. I'm like, I gotta go down there and see this, because I always, you know, I think of Warren as like, there's just, everything's paved in the city. And then, you know, talking to you and then talking to her, apparently not.
There's a couple of little, you know, there's a couple of streets that just somehow missed out, scattered here and there. But then right where I'm at, there's a little enclave. It's a little, it runs from about 12 and a half to 13 off the Quinner, which is in about, I don't know, quarter mile. And it's all dirt. They never, that little corner in the northwest, they never paved. I don't think there's, in a subdivision south east of me, but it's a onesie, you know, it's an anomaly. I love to hear the story on how all that happened. It's paved on one side, but not on the other, in front of like one or two houses. So must have been a fight with the city about that. And I think there's like onesies in a couple of other locations, but they're pretty rare, except for that little corner where I'm at, which they're all dirt. You know, they never pave that whole little quadrant.
I had a cron job on Romeo, or he just dropped off again. I was like, what the hell? Why did he just stop talking? I flipped over to Warren. Same thing happened yesterday, so I don't know what's up with that, but. Yeah, it makes you wonder the story, right? Like, how do you think of everything around it, minus these couple? What politics were involved to make that not happen?
Well, I guess if they come through and pave, I guess, you know, they charge you, they add up your taxes. And, you know, I've heard of people complaining or objecting. You know, I don't want it, right? But everybody else around you does. But I didn't think you could do that. I don't think you could selectively. I think they just kind of like, so I don't know what happened there, but one little stretch on, and only one side, that's what's really weird. So clearly it was something to do with the homeowner at the time, or whatever, but kind of weird. And I don't know what's going on up there. I mean, is it back? I don't know why it would, drop. You know, this is the second day in a row you've said that. So, very weird.
NADBF. Yeah, it's back. I just flipped over there. I got PMG so I can keep an eye on all that stuff. Not that I don't really need PMG. I don't really switch off of FBI. It's Romeo or Richmond to Warren to UMP to my office. But, yeah, I don't know. I just want to bring it to your attention. I don't think it's a big deal because it came back seemingly the next transmission, so... just a little odd.
Yeah, particularly with the, you know, now that we've got the MI6 backhaul, you know, back when it was the internet, you'd have all sorts of weird things, you know, they'd drop just for a second, but this seems like second day in a row, almost exactly the same time. So I'll have to look at the logs and see if I notice anything.
Are those sites static, or do you have, like, a DHCP lease timeout to where they're falling off at the same time and then renewing their DHCP and coming back after?
Nope, they're all static, and it's a, you know, we control the block, so there'd be no nothing going on there, and I know of nothing that would be causing it. I used to reboot that one, you know, when it was running off the fire department Wi-Fi. It used to lose it every now and again, and of course then you can't get to it, and so I would have it reboot overnight, and I was using just a it's kind of you'd have to understand the whole situation, but I was just using a lamp timer. I had it plugged in, and then it would, you know, you would set the little pins, and it would sometime around 4 a.m., you know, it would just drop and then come back. But it would drop for about 5 minutes, you know, not just a real quick drop. And I don't have to do that anymore since I'm off that Wi-Fi connect. Whoop. So I do not attribute it to that. So I have no other cron jobs running. So yeah, gonna have to find out why that would be. Rain fade? Not enough rain here to cause that. So
yeah, you'll have to let me know your findings just out of curiosity. I've been heavily dabbling with Linux, so curious if it's a system issue or a network issue. In other news, I pulled out the multimeter this morning, and I've narrowed down exactly what the cause of my radio problems are, and I know how to fix it at least. So, 500 stand. Happy to say that.
Okay. What did you determine?
Based on what you said and what Dave said and what I found, there needs to be a caveat for their operating voltage because this radio does not want anything less than 12.5. Truck was at 12.6 this morning before I started it. Turned on the radio, was fine. I started the truck, battery obviously drained, dropped to like 11.8, and then the radio was freaking out, and then that radio freaked out until I went over 12.5 again.
Yeah, that's a little low, but I mean, you know, it'll operate, so that's funny that you dropped that low, especially with the vehicle running. So the other question is when you had it on the bench, you were hearing it. What do you attribute to that?
Well, it hasn't been on the bench since I got it back the second time, so I still think the board was definitely, something on the board was definitely not right on the second trip in, first trip in, you know, the OG board. Now the truck gets to, you know, proper voltage and it's fine. But I agree. It kind of concerned me. I'm like, man, with the alternator running, shouldn't I be around like 13.8? Because I was watching it for a couple minutes and it was like slowly going off. It was like 12.1, 12.15, and I'm like, great, you know. Do I already have a bad battery with a truck that's brand new? So I'm just going to order that buck boost sent me, and I imagine if that thing regulates it and it takes 12 in or whatever the hell the battery's willing to give it, and it's making sure it's got, you know, 13 out or whatever it's set to, I think that'll fix everything. It's definitely not a temperature thing. They say it'll operate down to -4, and it hasn't even been close to that, so pretty sure it's the voltage.
Well, you know, I mean, it was still operating, you know, the radio was still radioing. You know, just had this little annoying buzz. So, yes, you could say that the radio was still operating. You know, caveat being, you know, make this goofy whining noise. So, with that, it would explain why I haven't heard it if I've never dropped below. But my low voltage, like I said yesterday, is always manifested as that motor boating sound. It's a little different. And it was a little different how it manifests, too. It always seemed like it was, you know, when I pulled away from a light as the start-stop somehow was involved in the whole thing.
Next me up, I see my buddy's old Tacoma on Hall Road like every day now. You would think, at least in my... I think I did pretty extensive digging on the internet. Like, there's no one talking about this. The only thing I heard was something about the front speaker not being able to mute it or something stupid. But no one has talked about voltage, and no one has talked about weird noises because of voltage. Makes me wonder if, like, I'm just a dumb ham and I don't know how to voltage. I don't know. Like, I've put how many mobiles in? I put 5 or 6 mobiles in vehicles and never had this problem, so I guess this radio is just overly sensitive to voltage drop.
Right, and again, just to reiterate, I agree. I've got two of these issues that have been particularly sensitive to voltage. A little different issue, but they have proven to be real persnickety with voltage. So I would, if you were to say that without getting into the brass tacks and exactly what was going on with low voltage, I would say absolutely I could confirm that. My 200 was a little funky when the voltage would get not terribly low, but just, you know, like you said, down into the 12s. And this thing makes weird noises when it gets down there a little bit. You know, all in voltage ranges that typically just weren't, you know, yeah, it's a little low, but it's not the end of the world. You know, these things start making weird beeps, boops, and noises. So you just had a little different beep or boop. But confirmation, yeah, these radios are the most finicky I've seen with regards to Yep, so, it's again, unfortunate, I've got to spend $50 to remedy this. I don't think my truck's out of operating range. Idle battery was at 12.5, 12.6, without being charged, dropping. It is a little cold, the oil might be a little thick. I don't know. You know, it's just annoying, so... I'll get that ordered today, and then hopefully all my issues go away, sell the 5100, and live happily ever after.
Now, they should run perfectly fine on 12 or any variation of 12. That's after all, everything's 12 volts. That's what we call it. Because, you know, in the vehicle environment, it goes up to 13.8 because of you gotta charge over, you know, over the battery, the nominal voltage. The nominal is 12. That's your battery voltage. So there's no reason why these radios shouldn't work perfectly fine between 12 and 13. Hell, they should run perfectly fine below 12. You know, 11, you shouldn't run into issues until you get, you start getting low 11. I there's no excuse for a radio not working perfectly fine at 12.1.
Yep, I do not disagree one bit, but I'm glad that I took a breather and was able to step back and think about it and look through the rage of having to deal with it a third time. I'm definitely going to send him an email, though, and be like, what the hell, man? Like, there's no way this is how it should be, but you and Dave confirmed it. I mean, if you guys are getting those farting noises, you guys both have, smaller SUVs with the stop-start, It's kind of the same but different, like you said, different beeps and boops. So I'll email them, see what they say. They're not going to give a shit, but whatever. It is what it is.
I'm actually kind of surprised you've not experienced the farting noise. I've had that on two of my my newer Yaesu FM rigs. Dave's had it on his. I think somebody else confirmed it on theirs as well. I'm surprised you haven't heard that one. And, it's not a big deal, or anything. It's just weird, and you're like, what the hell is that? And, should it? No. I mean, you look at the box, you look at the, what do we say? We say 12 volts. That's what we say. We don't say 13.8. We don't say 12.5. We don't say, these are 12-volt systems. 12-volt products, they should run on, when there's 12 volts, they should run, and any fraction above, so, I don't understand why they're so finicky when they get right there on 12, enough on that, you've got it resolved, so, and again, that buck boost thing, that ain't going to hurt you no matter what. That's something you could, you could use for anything, really. Shouldn't have to, but there you go. Oh, let's see, coffee this morning. I don't know. You know what? I think I'm going to skip it. I don't know. I'm not feeling the love. Man, I'm going to skip coffee. I think I am. I'm going to skip coffee this morning. Good grief. What's this world coming to?
you can go a day without caffeine.
I'll have to take your word for it.
I think if I didn't have caffeine by 11 o'clock, I'd have a headache because I'm an addict.
Well, I got to admit, I know I'm going to be going out on the road shortly after I get in, so instead of having to pull over and get it right now, I could just wait when I head out, grab it then. So I'm kind of sort of cheating in that regard.
There you go. It gives you a little bit more time to think about what you want.
Oh, I was watching some of the threads over there in Telegram. Everybody, you know, between the POTA and the Field Day and the HF stuff and all that stuff, just watch everybody knocking things out, the digital modes. And I made a joke. I posted that big black square, and I said my recent HF activity. That's no joke, man. I can't think of the last time I had those radios. Oh, man, I got to get out of the funk.
Same here. My 7 times on my desk, and I'm at my desk pretty much every day. And every day I pretty much just brush the dust off of it, right, because it's a black radio, and it's wintertime with the furnace running, and there's always a little bit of dust on it. And I turned it on the other day and listened to some dudes talking on 20 and then, like, just turn it off. I just didn't, I don't know. I'm kicking myself because I just bought the damn thing, and now I'm like, I don't really care to use it right now. I've been really enjoying VHF, UHF again, but yeah, I agree. I need a weather break, and I might hold off on buying another rig here, and I'm just going to take that 710 portable because I bought that case for it. So I agree. I want to get on the air and start screwing around. Maybe we'll do another 80-meter shenanigan this weekend.
Yep, Sutton. I think that's part of my problem is my antenna is not optimized right now. So I figure if I get the, God darn it, my nosy parks in the spot that I like. Oops. I just hit the curb right in front of a coworker. Great. I'm not going to live that one down. All right. Just pulled up. Parked in a spot, not my spot, but yeah, we'll have to do that. Right, because I'm tuned up there. Man, like I was saying, my antenna's not optimum right now for anything, but I could definitely, I can definitely get on 80.
Yeah, good timing. I'm at the office too, and it's Friday after update day, so I got all kinds of crap to go deal with. Keep your eyes still for a mast for me. You know, like a 40-footer maybe. I have that spider beam, but I don't know how I feel about leaving that out all the time. You know, I guess I could, but I feel like it would probably break at some point. But the Brilliant Farmer's cutting down every tree around the house, and I'm sure the one my rope's in is next. So I'm going to have to relocate the wire or get a vertical. But all right, man, have a good day, and maybe I'll catch you later. NATDF.
All right, catch you later. W8FU.
Good morning, 0800 hours. Cloudy. 34 degrees.
This is KF8 CUL Kilo Foxtrot 8 Charlie Uniform Lima. KF8 CUL Mark Troy Michigan KF8 CUL.
KF8CUL, N1KRD, name here is Nick.
KCKGO.
I think I might have lost KF8. KRD here. How are you doing today?
And one KRD, this is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, KCAKDO, name is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike.
Hey Tom, yeah, Nick here, how's your rainy day going so far?
Just starting, heading down to the eye doctor's, get my neck of the cold, and then off to the office for a couple things, and then out to Southfield for the day. So hopefully it'll be uneventful.
Okay, I just had to the doctor earlier this week. I got another appointment I'm heading to right now, and then I also will be back in Southfield just working from home today after this appointment.
Yeah, I don't work from home. I'm a technician. So, in the company van, going to places that they tell me to go to.
All right, so yeah, getting around to you. What kind of, how big is your territory?
My actual service district is the Detroit metro area, Oakland, Macomb. That's the Oakland, Macomb, Wayne, Washtenaw, parts of Livingston, parts of Monroe, parts of St. Clair, depending. But if there's nothing going on there, I'd go where they send me. Excluding the UP.
That would be times a week, and I'm mostly at Metro Detroit area, but occasionally I gotta go out and reach out a little farther, but otherwise I'm working from home, so it's manageable.
And today is the Southfield run. They're gonna finish up some stuff with a couple other techs, hopefully get that online and moving. I got to follow up with another account and see what's going on with an ID number and why that's not working. So hopefully it'll be a quiet day. Next week a little bit more busier. Grand Rapids and maybe Flint or Saginaw or something. All depends on how the day goes or the week.
Yeah, you never know. There's technological issues always seem to find a way to pop their head out when they're
reconstructed. Well, I'm a tech specialist, so I get a little bit more qualifications than some of the other service guys out there on certain types of equipment. So if they can't figure it out, they call me and I go there and get contact with people that I need to be contact with and get the problem resolved.
All right, yeah, sounds good. I guess that's with a little the more specialty that makes sense. You have a kind of bigger territory and range you got to cover because there's probably less people with that expertise. So, anyway, I'm pulling up at my destination here. So I'm going to step aside for an hour or so. But thanks for the quick chat here, and hopefully your day goes smooth, and have a good weekend. I think it was KC8EJO N1KRD.
N1KRD, 73 from KC8KJO. Easy way to remember it is KC8CUJO.
Good morning, 0900 hours, cloudy, 36 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours, 37 degrees.
W8FU.
K8RU8.
Hey, hey, what's shaking? Out and about?
Yep, just running around. How about you?
Yeah, sitting here in the office, waiting for lunch to get here. Won't get here soon enough.
I know how that goes. Yeah, we got a guy retiring today, so I am headed into the office for a little bit for some lunch, and then running some errands and get back to it at the home office. Thank God for Friday.
There you go. Sounds like a plan. No, I'm just pretty much locked down here. I may run out if Phil gets out and about and heads east. I may meet up with him to drop off a part, but I have no other things even on my radar. So there you go. All right, I just thought I'd get out here, make some noise, whip up the electrons. I'm going to get back into my computer here and try to get a couple of things knocked out.
Sounds good. I'll catch up with you soon. K-8 or U-H?
W-8 if you.
K-8-BB.
Good morning, 1100 hours, cloudy, 37 degrees.
KK7UC from W8EAP.
Good afternoon, 1200 hours, 35 degrees.
Good morning, world, or good afternoon, world.
Man, this sucks. I'd rather have a cold.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. 35 degrees.
Well, at least your car battery isn't dead. I tried to get in my car today. It's like, sorry, car's battery's dead.
Right, on a day when it's in the 30s and raining, you know. This is miserable. I'd rather have it in the 20s and dry. Of course, I don't know when I ever want it to rain except for when we need it for the plants.
Well, at least it's not like Nevada or, where's the other one, Arizona. They have like 100 some odd days without rain or any measurable precipitation.
That's why I was asking that one guy. I noticed he hasn't been back, or if he has, I haven't noticed. But that's why I was asking that one guy from Arizona, you know, what's the water situation. And, you know, he says they don't. So they got, like you mentioned, they got mountains and stuff. So they got a lot of stuff coming up out of the mountains. But, you know, the modern age allows us the luxury of living places that are inhospitable to man. And I would never want to live someplace that I'm dependent upon technology. You know, and that goes for places that get blistering hot or subarctic cold. Or people have found ways to live in those with modern conveniences, so I guess it can happen. But, yeah, water, yeah. Water's a problem, I'm leaving.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, Well, I've seen, you know, I've been watching YouTube at night, bored, and I'll watch the, there's this place in Russia, I think the city starts with a Y, it's like negative 81 or something, and they don't even have, running water because their pipes freeze. So you see that, and then you see, you know, the stuff in California where, you know, they don't have enough water to put out fires. So it's like, yeah, we like to live in places where we're not really supposed to, but the weather's nice. I saw that thing on the Siberian town, coldest place on Earth, I think was the gist of the documentary. It's the coldest inhabitable place on the Earth. And I got about a little ways into it. They were talking to a woman that owned a, I think it was a hair place. But, yeah, you know, just going about their business. They had some guy run around delivering fuel oil. Could get his truck running one day or something. That's crazy, man. That's crazy cold. Yeah, they're kind of dependent upon modern conveniences. You know, you get them Inuit people, you know, up in the Arctic Circle. They, you know, they live in this, but they're, you know, they're living off the land, man. They found a way to live in that climate. Yep, and nobody will bother them, so that's the way they like it. But yeah, it's amazing. Even even before modern technology, these people were living, you know, in those areas, and they probably have like a couple months in the summer where they can, you know, do stuff. But you know, they got to be heavily dependent on. Well, I was watching. They were fishing in the rivers and stuff in the front. So there's like fish living in the rivers and doesn't completely freeze, and they were ice fishing, and they got to consume a lot of fat too, because they you know, that's how they, you know, they don't store it, they burn it right away. I saw a video, right? Maybe it was just a picture. Was it a video? No, I think it was. Yeah, I'm not sure. It was a picture or a little video, but down in Gator Country, it froze. And all the alligators, they stuck their nose just up above the surface, knowing it was going to freeze. And so now the whole thing, the whole pond was frozen with these alligator snouts sticking out above the ice all over the place. Like, so they knew what to do, despite it being really rare. Yeah, and they're cold-blooded, so their metabolism just slows down. So I assume that they came back to life when it thawed, or no. Yeah, I didn't see much else. You know, I think they're fine. I think they were just you know, they were just shutting down and for the frigid weather, and yeah, they'd be just fine when it thawed out. My guess, I didn't get the impression there was any problem, but it was a funny sight, that's for sure. And Eric sending messages. He says, just put corks in their nostrils or bubble gum. I don't know if you want to get that close to their snout when you're, even when they're under the ice. I don't think the ice was that thick. I don't know.
They're good to eat.
If their mouths are
wide
open, they can't touch their mouth.
Ready to strike.
Who else was out there? Go ahead. KFADS.
Well, the car here is NATVE. Tango Victor Echo up here in Hemlock. Just monitoring the conversation. Had alligator quite a few times. It's good on the grill.
Well, good afternoon. I can't honestly say I've ever had gator, or rattlesnake for that matter, but I've heard tastes like chicken. Doesn't everything taste like chicken? I do like chicken, so there you go. Name here is Sean. Dave?
Yep, affirmative. That's the name. And, got chickens next door. They get carried away, though. I had about a dozen eggs a day that I got to do something with.
Very good. All right, I got a call that just came in, so I got to jump out. Probably related to my battery. I'm going to get somebody to help me jump it. Talk to you later. Hopefully it works out. KF8S. All right, Dave, good luck with that. Try to stay dry. And if you needed a jump, I could have come give you a jump. But anyhow, sounds like you got it under control now. But I got to find some bills here. I know the place I want to go to. I just, where is it at? I think I still got a couple miles to go.
Running the roads, are you?
I'm not sure I caught the question entirely, but yeah, I'm out running about. I gotta stop. I gotta make, and then I'm probably gonna finish up. I gotta get some lunch, make a stop, and then I gotta probably finish up work from home. I've got a bunch of follow-up crap I gotta do on the computer and emails and stuff, and I can just as easily do that from home. I don't do that very often. I'd like to try to get a day work from home in. Seeing as I can, and yet I never do. So I just prefer being in.
Well, it's Friday, so that's a good day to work from home and get a long weekend. I'm not sure if I'm talking to Sean or if I've got somebody else.
Yes, this is Sean, and the gentleman who has the battery issues that had to jump out is also Dave. Actually, he's just Dave, but since you're Dave, he's also Dave. But he's jumped out to tend to his vehicle issues. And I am running down Grosbeck Highway in the city of Roseville looking for a little breakfast place, and I think it's about a half mile ahead.
Yeah, a little diner or restaurant?
Yeah, I guess I'd just call it a diner. They do have kind of specialty items. Their stuff's really good. And it's better than your average diner. Very small place. I'm hoping I'm a little after the lunch rush. So it won't be bad, but very small, not a lot of seating. But it's called the Yolk and Toast. And, always very pleased every time I go there.
Well, it sounds like I specialize in lunch and brunch. Breakfast too, probably. I enjoy having eggs periodically. I got 13 chickens here, and they keep busy with laying eggs, so I gotta give them away to anybody who likes brown eggs and green eggs. They don't lay white eggs.
Well, I've had brown eggs, but I don't think I've had green eggs before they're cracked. I've had green eggs after they're cooked. Green eggs and ham, right?
Green eggs and ham, said Sam. I am
not familiar with eggs that are green in the shell.
Dr. Seuss did.
Well, the shell of the egg inside looks like a normal egg. And I usually mix them together. I'll buy a dozen white eggs from the store, put one brown egg together and green, and then a white one, and stir them all up and don't notice the difference. They all taste good when you do it that way.
I thought they all tasted the same regardless, that it was just the shell. The brown ones that I've had didn't taste any different to me than the white ones. The ones are better for you. who knows? And my restaurant has got to be coming up here. I miscalculated, so I think that was Eric chiming in. I think what Dr. Seuss was talking about green eggs, I think he was talking about them after they're out of the shell. I don't think he was talking about green eggs while they were in the shell.
Yeah, I wonder if they were green after you cracked the shell open. But looking at the shells, it doesn't really make too big a difference. They're a little bit more steamy, but don't think about it. They go down good.
That might be a function of what the hens are eating. I know that's the way it is with venison. It's, you know, they're just the ones that eat the acorns and the pine cones. They have that gamey taste, but the ones that are running around the farm eating all your corn, they taste like beef. That's good stuff. All right, I found my place, so I'm going to get parked and get inside. Have yourself a good one. This is W8FU.
All right, Sean, enjoy your lunch, and maybe we'll catch you down the log there one of these days at ATVE up here in the little town of Hemlock, where the only thing poison is the women.
Good afternoon, 1400 hours, sleet, 34 degrees. Updated weather, special weather statement. Special weather statement. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. 33 degrees.
KE8RUH.
KF8DOT monitoring.
Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Special weather statement. Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 34 degrees. Special weather statement.
W8FU. W8FU. You there, Sean? KZ8Z. Nothing heard from W8FU, KZ8Z.
Special weather statement.
turned on the snow machine.
NHKTP.
Special. Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Cloudy. 33 degrees. The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area.
Hilo Echo 8, Zulu Uniform Whiskey.
KZ8BSI. Great, you copy KZ8. No joy with KZ8BSI.
What's going on, Dave? Can't say that.
The other way, that's so cracked me up when I think when you said that. I'm just out in this wonderful winter wonderland we got going on. My wife and I are meeting Craig and his wife for some din-din.
Okay, yeah, he was just over on GRMS talking with Jack and I. I wonder if he's already there.
Yeah, I would imagine he is. Speaking of Jack.
It's no problem. Come and jump your car, Dave. Yeah, I was telling them about how my battery was dead. I did what we all do. We accidentally leave our radios on and drain the battery.
It cracks me up when you do that impression of Jack, because it's so darn good. Yeah, my battery died too. When I had hurt my knee, I wasn't driving, or actually when I had surgery, I wasn't driving. I drive my car for like a week and a half maybe. And I had my clear note in there, and I went to start it one day, and it didn't even click. It was just nothing, a whole lot of nothing. In fact, I couldn't get in the car. I had to bust out the little secret key that's in the key fob and use that to get in. But I just jumped it and drove it and then charged it, and it's back to normal. Or at least I think it is. But you know what? I'm not sure now that I say that, because it's not doing that when I stop the vehicle. Normally the engine shuts off and then it restarts when you go again. It's not doing that stuff. So I'm wondering if the battery's down.
Yeah, you know, to add insult to injury, how you have OnStar on these GM cars, you're supposed to like let you know when things are a problem. Of course, it doesn't tell me that my battery was dead like a day ago or whenever it was dead or about to die. It tells me as I'm trying to start the car when the battery's dead. All of a sudden I get a text message. You need to start your engine to recharge your battery. It's like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they told you that, like, I don't know, 40% of the battery ago. Well, I'm just pulled into the restaurant we're at. I see Greg and Sue are here. So thanks for responding to my call, Dave. We'll talk soon. After yours, KZAZ.
Alrighty, say hi to everybody. Talk to you later. KF8S. KF8S,
NADF.
Good afternoon. Are you driving in this mess?
Yep, just left, and my GPS says an hour and a half to my house if I take 53. 55 minutes if I take 20.
Oh, man, that's not good at all. Like, everybody decided to leave exactly at 5 today because they said, oh, I'll just stay and work another hour and let traffic go home.
You know, I think that may or may not have been part of it, because that was my school thought. We had the AWS guys here today and yesterday, And they left at 4, and I was thinking to myself, like, man, I should probably just leave right now. And then I didn't. And, I was saying, if I'm lucky, I'll be home at 6:23.
Yeah, I remember, this was years ago, I used to work in, at, like, 16 and Coolidge, or Big Beaver and Coolidge, over by the big Kmart headquarters, over by Somerset. And I would have to drive east to go home on 16 Mile of Big Beaver. And it was always a parking lot whenever you had a snow day like this. And I would just stay until 7 o'clock. Well, back then I was single, so I didn't have to get back to a family or anything. But I would just stay until 7. And then I would drive home. And then, because it would have been the same amount of time. If I would have left at 5, I would have been stuck in traffic for 2 hours, or I could leave at 7 and just be home a half an hour later.
Yeah, if I was single, I would just be going straight to the park right now.
Yep. Well, I had to go. I was out there around 5 o'clock. I had to about a half an hour or so ago. And I went and picked up a battery charger at Meijer. It's probably the worst place to pick up a battery charger, but I needed one for my car. So, and it was starting to flake then. Now it's not the clumpy flakes anymore. Now it's like the little tiny snow, but I can see that it's causing some havoc on the road. I see cars driving really slow now.
I'm doing 10 on Hall Road right now, if that gives you an idea. And, of course, no one wants to let you over, but when it's going this slow, you can just cut them off and not worry about it. So I'm going to try the Romeo Plains route, but tell me how your 500 kills your car battery, because I just ordered that buck booster today.
Oh, it was nothing. I mean, it's not specific to the 500. It was that I left it on for several days. I haven't had a reason to drive anywhere this whole week. I've just been focusing on work, so I didn't go anywhere this week. I had all my groceries and everything right here. You know, there was no reason to go out. And I walked to the mailbox instead of drove to the mailbox, so I had no opportunities to see that I left the radio on. So that's what I believe happened, was I left the radio on, or at least that's what I hope it is, because if that's not it, then it's probably the alternator. So I don't think there's anything specific with the 500 wrong. It's just like if you leave any radio on for an extended period of time, it's going to drain your battery.
So the 500 killed the car battery, but not because it's a 500. I gotcha. Well, that makes me feel a little better because I'm still running mine. And so far, so good. I narrowed down the reason for the noise, so I've got that going for me. I think that buck converter will take care of it. But yeah, you got to set the APO on that thing. I have all my radios set to 30 minutes because I always, it seems like no matter what fuse tap I use, it's never a accessory power. It's always on. So, and I forget, right? Like if I'm not talking on it, I generally will forget to turn it off. So at least this way, the longest it'll run is 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't even know the 500 had that. I guess probably because I didn't read the manual. But, yeah, I should probably definitely go after this because we don't learn these things until we do it wrong. After this, I'll probably set the APO.
Yeah, that's like the first thing I set because that's my biggest fear is I forget and then I go to get in the truck and it's dead. But, yeah, I don't know. I was talking to Sean this morning, and I think ultimately these are just super sensitive radios when it comes to voltage. And I tested the battery this morning before I started the truck. It was at 12.6 volts. And then turned on the radio. It was fine. And then I started the truck, and it dropped the voltage down to like 11.8. And then it slowly started to creep back up with the alternator. I just watched these dudes get in an accident. Oh, my God. And it made the annoying noise, like the other day when I was talking to you on my way home, until it charged up. And once it hits, I think that 12.5 is like the magic number. The annoying noise goes away. So I was doing it again this afternoon when I got in the truck, even though I remote started it. Started driving a bit, now it's gone.
Yep, that's been my experience too. When I first got the 500, I thought something was broken. And the audio on my speaker was making like this weird, the only best way I could describe it was like farting noises. It was just like somebody would be talking and like at the end of their transmission they would have like this noise and it's like, what the heck is that? And you know, and I had the power off issues whenever I would do the auto stop and things like that, and it just like it got so annoying. And it was Ryan that was the one that kicked me off to the voltage regulator thingy, and that ever since I've had that, I've had no problems with it.
Right, and that's what I figured. I'm like, okay, now that I've narrowed it down to the radio is fine, it's a voltage thing. I mean, I think it's BS that a radio of this caliber can't handle a fluctuation in voltage without having, you know, negative effects, but that's a whole other story in my opinion on Yaesu. I think it's forever tainted. But yeah, I figured if I can get constant 13 volts for this thing, my problems are all solved, and I just got to wire that in line and I'll be good. You said you use power poles, right? So you got four wires coming off that thing, black, black, red, red, and you just do, you know, you just mash it up and keep it going?
Yep, so there's like, you know, when the, wherever the fuse cap is, it's like a short wire with power poles on it, so that I could just like quickly disconnect like the radio if I wanted to. And then so what I did was, it's basically this thing is in line with it, so like I plug that in, you have the input, and then you get another set of power poles for the output, and then you just plug your radio's power cord into that, and off you go. And then when you get your next vehicle, all you have to do is take that out. And I think it would work great for if you were using like your HF radio in there too, like if you decided you wanted to bring 710 or, you know, I think that's the radio you bought. You know, if you wanted to bring your big boy radio, you know, this was, you could hook it up to your car and use the, you know, the voltage regulator, or just borrow the voltage regulator and put it on your battery. I almost want to get a second one of those so it always keeps my Yaesu radio at like 13.8, but I have a feeling that the big radios have a better regulator in them. I think it's the mobiles that they cheaped out on. They didn't put a really good voltage regulator. So, like, why wouldn't you build something like this into your radio?
I don't know that I would trust running. I don't think I could run my 710. I'm trying to see I think I'm at a 15 amp fuse, so I don't know how much I would trust that. But yeah, no, I was reading on Reddit too. People were talking about voltage regulators and why do these radios not have them and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure cost plays a factor, but it's like, you're charging me $600 for a freaking radio that is sent to a half volt drop? Like, come on.
Yeah, why can't cars have this regulator built in there too? Like, you would think that the, you know, the power outlets, and they're switching them more to, like, AC power outlets and USB. Like, why can't they put the voltage regulation over there as well? Like, you know you're going to be plugging something into it. Maybe we should have some consistent voltage coming out of it from the car.
Yeah, you would think, but again, another point of failure, more cost, yada, yada, yada. It's all about the bottom dollar. I just hope that the one I ordered, I think I ordered the same one you did. I just hope it lasts because it's some no-name crap and it's off Amazon. I guarantee it's from China. But if it works for the time being until I can find a more permanent solution, I'm all for it. But I was even considering trying to wire it straight to the battery, but I don't think it's going to matter because the voltage at the battery was where I was testing it. It was too low. So I'm going to try this. Hopefully it fixes it because I really do like the 500. It's exactly what I want and need. It's just now for the first 5 to 10 minutes that I'm using it, I have to deal with the annoying noise that has haunted me for 2 months, and then it goes away.
Yeah, I think, you know, even going forward, no matter what radio I put in my car, I think I'm always going to use that thing. So this thing is universal. You know, you could use it on your, you know, that ICOM radio. You could use it on anything you plug in there. You know you always are going to have 13.8 coming out of it, and it's going to be consistent. Mine actually measures like 14.1. So, I mean, I mean, it says it's 13.8, but it measures like 14.1 at the thing. And I drove around with it with the auto stop and all that stuff, and I had a, you know, I taped the leads from my voltmeter onto it, and I drove around and tested it and stopped. And it's still a nice, consistent, like, 14.1. So even though it says 13.8, really, and my voltmeter could be off, too. So this is always that as well. But at least it never changed. So, you know, with a consistent voltage no matter what.
Well, yeah, I like it that it's in line, and the fact that, like, you put power poles on it, right? Like, I like that a lot because, and like you said, everything can kind of be interchangeable, hot swappable, and I don't have to worry about it. So my fuse tap and that can always be in line, and then any other radios I want to put in here, like you said, I can power pole it, and power poles are the way. I just stocked my whole kit. So I've got all the 45, 30, and 15-amp power poles set. I'm ready to go, and that's honestly one of my favorite things to do with ham radio is just terminate friggin' what with power poles.
Yeah, people use them on radio wires. They use them on all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, it's the, you know, I don't even know how it became the de facto standard that all hams use. But before my time coming back to the hobby, but I think people used to use, like, marine cables, you know, the little gray ones. I think people used to use those before, and I don't know when they switched to these.
Any DBF. I don't know if you've ever dabbled with any RC stuff, but it's typically the XT connectors, so like XT30, XT60, XT90. Those are super nice, but they're not color-coded, but round is ground kind of thing. But the connection's much, much stronger. Like, I use them on my FPV drones, and the batteries don't come unplugged unless, like, you really, really crash. And they're not too bad to terminate either, but you do have to solder them. So maybe that's why power poles became the go-to, because you can kind of just grab a crimp and some connectors and call it a day. But, yeah, I'm a big fan. I bought that Alinco power supply specifically because it has two power poles on the front.
Somebody might have the answer. Go ahead.
You use a lot of power poles. Do you get what your power poles at? Through DX or one of the other suppliers? What's your favorite supplier? ADHFK, Leonard here.
Let me see if I got it. Hey, Leonard, you got Dakota here, NADDF, and other guy is Dave, KF8S. I like the PowerWorks ones. Those are the only ones I've used. I think they're good quality, and I use their, it's called the Tri-Crimp, and I've had really good luck with them. And then I just get, like, the miscellaneous stuff, like the E-Shrink and the boots off of Amazon. So I don't think it really matters too much, but I did buy I bought a Y-splitter or a Y Anderson power pole, like, adapter for my battery box. And I took it apart because I had to change some stuff on it, and I was not impressed with the quality of the crimps. So that's my two cents, but like I said, it probably really doesn't matter. Dave?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where I bought mine before. I think I bought the same kit that Dakota did on at DX Engineering. They had, like, the PowerWorks kit. It came with a nice red bag. It came with the crimper, because I didn't have a crimper at the time, and it came with a bunch of the PowerWorks. So you definitely want to go with the genuine PowerWorks brand. There's some Chinese knockoffs that you can get, but I've had so many problems with Chinese knockoffs, like the crimps won't work, or they won't go, and you end up buying the PowerWorks anyways, because you burn through all the Chinese ones.
Oh, they got Well, thank you. The information back out and let you guys continue. That call.
Leonard, I caught most of that. You're backing out. And, yeah, good luck. I agree with Dave. I think the genuine ones are the way to go. You can get the kit for like $100 and it comes with a bunch of power poles and lets you try out the different sizes and whatnot. So I highly recommend it. I think the crimpers themselves are like $40 anyway. So, and you were dropping out a little bit there. So I'm not sure if that's the system or if you're how you're coming in, but just so you're aware. Go ahead, Dave. NAD Dev.
Yep. Yeah, I haven't burned through my supply yet with the red bag. I've got the red bag downstairs, and I haven't had any need to wire anything up. I'm still, like, using cables that I had and things like that. I do need to put on, I want to move out my 991A back up on my desk. Maybe just use it for the UHF, VHF side. And I keep on, hemming and hawing and putting, connecting, because I have the cords from when I bought my 710. So, when I bought my 710, I just took the 991A's cord and used it on the 710. I didn't bother putting crimps on the other one. I just left it in the box. And I need to still do that. And then I can have both of them hooked up at the same time and then feel like I can use both. You know, I'll have a all mode, higher power, UHF, VHF, and then I'll have the HF for the, on the 710, I can run both at the same time.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I just have, like, universal cables at this point. Not really for HF anymore, but when I had all those different rigs, I had a cigarette to power pole, I had a power pole to power pole for an extension, I had bare wire to power pole. I had all kinds of different ends, and I had DC to power pole, like all these different ways to power these radios. So that's the main reason why I love these power poles, is because you can just, you can adapt it however you need it, and it's super, super convenient. And that's why I had no problem buying that buck adapter, too, because as soon as you gave me the idea to put power poles on, I'm like, that's brilliant, because right now it's the fuse tap to butt connectors to the radio cable, and I've got way too much radio cable bundled up under there too, so I'm going to clean that up.
Yeah, my only complaint is in that buck converter thing, it's like really short cable, so yeah, but getting a power pole on it right away is a good thing, because then, you don't have to worry about unsoldering or anything like that on those things. But, you could really just put those in line or something without the power poles, but I think you'll use it for a long, long time, I think, if you have power poles on it, and as long as the thing doesn't bust. And it's rated, I think, at 20 amps, and I think, when you're on high power with the radio, it's a little bit higher than that, but I think it's fine. I haven't had any problems with it. I've run high power a couple times.
See, I was reading, and it was saying on high power, it's only like 13 amps.
Yeah, you might be right. I'm thinking of HF for some reason.
Yeah, that sounds right, because I had a Yaesu 23-amp power supply when I was running my 7300 at 100 watts, and I never had any issues with it. So I think HF is around the low 20s. I bought the... I don't know if this is the one you sent me. It's the XWST 15-amp, 207-watt boost buck converter.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same one or not. The one I sent you is the one that I know works, so I don't know which one you got, but I guess it should. As long as it says it will take an input of like 9 to 15 volts, and then out comes 13.8 volts, I think you're fine.
Yeah, this one's 9 to 36 in and 13.8 out, so it should be fine.
Oh, that's what you want. Yeah, it's interesting that it can do that much of a range. I think some of the energy gets converted to heat, or it may probably draw more power up the voltage. There's probably some scientific, technical ways that it works, but I'm not aware of that, other than maybe it's like a mini transformer.
How big is that thing? Because I can't really judge from the pictures, and there's none in the reviews, but I'm just thinking to myself, it's like, well, all these radios have heat sinks already. Like, you mean to tell me you can't put that in the case?
Yeah, I'd say it's like a cube. Not really a group. But, like, you know, it's a rectangle and, like, you know, 3D a rectangle or whatever. But it fits in the palm of your hand, about the size. I took the fuse cover off my Trailblazer, and I just stuffed it in there. So yeah, the fuses are all exposed. There's not a nice plastic thing, but this thing like kind of, you know, tucks back in there.
I've got a little like cubby in my fuse panel, so that's where my glove box is in my truck on the passenger side. I should have enough room to zip tie it up in there somewhere. So I think that's where I'm going to put it. I don't know if I really want it under the seat. I'm going to try to keep it dry and up and out of the elements as much as I can. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting it. It'll be here Monday, so we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping it fixes my problems, and then I can not get in the truck and go, okay, what's wrong with my radio today?
Yeah, I mean, I really like this radio. I mean, I really like that radio in the car. I took my 200. At first, I was just going to leave my 200 in there. And then the 500 would have been in my base. But I really like the 500 in the car. I didn't like it at first. I didn't like how PMG worked at first for the 500. It took me a little bit to get used to the fact that the second VFO uses if some call comes in while you're listening to one channel, it puts the second one in the other VFO. I thought that was kind of neat that it does that, because now usually only two of your five are going to be activated. It's really rare that you would see like three activated, so the fact that it does that is kind of cool. And then you can always leave the one that you want to monitor up on the first, up on your A-band, is always the one that you want to prioritize listening. So it's always there, right? And just the secondary one shows up on the bottom.
I haven't even set that up yet, but I need to. That was my favorite thing on the 200, man, especially when I was traveling all over the place. Like, I could just... kind of pointless the way I used it. I would put all the FBI repeaters like on my travels, so I could tell by the F meter which one I needed to switch to, and that was really the only reason I used it. And then obviously the other side I had on there too, but I haven't set up on this one yet. I like that this is true dual VFO, and I can put a program button on my mic for the second PTT, so I don't have to touch the head. If I see something come in on VFOB, I can hit P2, I think it's P2, maybe P3, on my mic and talk on that channel. So I thought that was a neat feature.
Eric, you really struggle there to be louder than Dakota, but go ahead.
There's a double there.
I just wanted to throw my call in there.
It's W-A-D-A-P.
Yep. Boy, I thought we were going to be done with the snow for a while. Rained all day. Now it's snowing like crazy where I'm at.
Yeah, I cleared up over here. I mean, there's snow everywhere, but it stopped.
What's nuts is when I left my office, it said an hour and 31 minutes to get home if I took 53. It was literally a blizzard, hardly any visibility, coming down sideways, huge flakes. I am now at 29 North Ave. The roads are pretty clear, and there is no snow, or no snow falling, I should say. So, slowly making my way home.
Where are you at, Eric? Mound Road?
I'm on Mound, and people are driving with their high beams on and whizzing in front of you just to gain one spot. Like, people are driving like a-holes. I'm running high beams. So typical. Now we're hitting some traffic jam now.
I said North Ave, I'm on flank. But yeah, careful driving, people are idiots. I watched, I was at 21 to Romeo Plank, and I watched one guy just rail another guy, and bumpers everywhere, just literally sticking in the turn lane. Like, is this your first time driving in this?
There's always going to be new drivers to snow. It's never thought there'd be that many. This is the green radio, the UV32, Eric. How does it sound?
It's got audio problems.
I mean, if nobody was out there talking beside you, but compared to Dakota, it's really loud and really muffled.
Sounds muffled either way. How can you compare it to anything? It sounds like garbage.
Well,
I haven't seen it yet,
I can deal with it.
The note as well.
It
might be blasting the notes. I'll switch to a different radio.
Yeah.
But you guys gotta let me know sooner than later.
I probably could have said something, but it wasn't bothering me too bad. I thought it was the anniversary 52, so I didn't want to upset you, because I know you like that radio and it was having some audio issues, but I think you fixed that.
All right, how about this radio? Is it better?
I don't know. You got to talk on it for a bit.
1800 hours.
From that 3 minutes there, it sounded
32 degrees.
Alrighty. Well, you know, we don't want to upset Jimmy Jam.
That's right. Sound like you're on Echolink. Boo, 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 boo.
He's got a point. He's not lying. He did sound like Echolink.
What radio was that?
Oh, it was the UV. It was the UV32, but I just took it out of the box. I have not tweaked anything. For all I know, it could have a compander turned on by accident and all that crap.
Here, I spooked my piece. Jimmy Jam on the side.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Jimmy Jam. KF Ada.
Hey, Jimmy, is it snowing by you?
Very lightly, just, well, actually right now it's not. I'm in the mobile, 10 in Van Dyke. Not at the moment it's not, but it did when I left Myers.
A little black, isn't it? Because he sounds all muffled up. Anyhow, it's snowing pretty good here on Mound, and I was just thinking, you know, about 35 years ago, this would be a good night to cruise around and agitate people.
Well, according to a lot of people, I do that, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but not like that before. We'd go all the way out to a different, completely different area, though. Like Ann Arbor or something like that, I think it was.
That's an easy place to agitate people.
I remember parking on a parking structure agitating.
You know, there's one at the hospital, and there's one over at the tech center, and I don't know if I could just get into the one at the tech center, but there's a nice 5-story parking structure over there, too.
I think the one in Birmingham, isn't that one free on the weekends? You could just go up there.
What are we doing on a parking structure?
See who can pee their name in cursive.
In the snow.
Utilizing the height, utilizing the antenna height to agitate people from a distance.
I'm following like the CB days kind of shenanigans, like 10-4, good buddy.
Roger, right on,
buddy.
But a mud duck.
Anyone broken 30 on their drive yet? Because I haven't.
I have. I'm the bad driver that's behind Eric. KEA-TFM.
You're the a-hole with the high beams on. Nice. No, it's really slippery out here. I'm at M59 in Mound, and it's about 30 miles an hour.
I'm at 16 in Grosbeck, and it is a mess. It's been snowing from my house all the way over here. I had to go to FedEx to pick up the package. Now I'm heading back in it, and it's still pretty heavy over here.
I've got no snow by me, but no one wants to go too fast. Any of you guys want to jump on 80 meters this weekend?
I can try. I'm gonna have to use a coil though.
I keep forgetting you don't have a wire yet.
Yeah, I just gotta get Captain Don out here to shoot something up into the woods. But I don't know. Is it going to warm up this weekend, or is it going to just stay cold?
I have no idea. I have not looked at the weather, but I probably should.
Today is the warmest, so 40 for high today. Tomorrow, high of 27. Sunday, high of 37. Monday, back to 40.
Jesus, that intersection I just went through, my truck was sideways. It was pure ice.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun with the... Okay, so we had rain, and then we had the snow, and then it's warming up a little bit. And then it's going to... Well, it's going to freeze tonight. But, yeah, it's going to go... It's going to go back and forth a lot.
Yeah, I made my decision easy for what I'm going to do tomorrow. Is absolutely nothing.
You won't want to drive down here for, like, an hour and come to breakfast? it's funny. I'm probably not going to go to breakfast tomorrow, but we'll see. Maybe. Depends on if I get enough sleep.
If the roads and weather are like this tomorrow, it would take me 2 hours to get there.
Well, I was looking good. Battery's at 27% for my car, so I'm glad that it's getting juice again.
I wonder how long it took to, like, actually kill the battery.
Well, I had it in PMG mode, so anytime somebody spoke, you know, whatever the voltage or whatever the amperage or wattage of the speaker audio and all that, that's probably what it, probably what drained it. And then, you know, it probably was like 4 or 5 days, and it probably had enough.
All right, so my truck is legitimately trying to go off the road. I cannot believe it. The roads are horrible out here.
Are you on an east-to-west road or what?
Kind of, sort of. It was east-to-west. I was on a 35-mile road, and now I'm going north. But, I mean, I just put on four-wheel drive again. But it was, I was doing 19 miles an hour, and I was just, like, tap the gas or, like, the crown of the road, the truck would just start sliding. That's how bad it is.
Well, you're doing pretty good. Are you on 2600 still, or are you on Romeo?
I'm east of 53 still, so I'm kind of by my old house. I'm on Richmond. I don't know if that came through. That was a weird carrier hang.
Yeah, it came through. I was just trying to switch to a different radio, but I guess I got it. Not programmed right over there. I'm back on this one.
Wait, which one? What? I'm confused. You're on the which one were you on before or after the UV32?
Well, this one here is a Radtel radio. I was trying to switch to my H3, which I know the audio is good on that one, but I don't have it programmed right.
Yeah. So how's that one been?
The new Radtel one, it seems to be pretty good. H3 is still kind of my favorite because they have that hacked firmware and you can lower the power and all that stuff. But battery life is really good on the RT 860.
And how is the audio on this one? Because I have not tested this one as well.
I think you sound all right. That's pretty cool, though, that radio's got a two separate antenna slots, which I don't know what the hell I was trying to say. Might want to get one of those and try it out. Like I said, my Kenwood does it, but I have to, put a PNC adapter on it and get creative on how I want to use an antenna.
Yeah, the interesting thing is it uses the, you know how, a lot of these radios have FM radio? So you activate the FM radio, and then it's got modes for, the short wave and all that stuff. So that's how you tune it. And then if you're listening to a UHF-VHF frequency, if a call comes in, it interrupts the radio. And so it allows you to, kind of do some shortwave listening when things are idle, and if somebody keys up that you're waiting for or anything like that, it'll interrupt you for that. Of course, if you don't want it to do that, you just change your channel, right, in your UHF. There's probably an option in the menu to turn it off completely.
Is that a newer model, or did you guys just come across that?
Yeah, apparently I'm on Radtel's emailing list, and they, spammed me some email about it. And then they said, here's a $5 off coupon. Enter this code. And it was new RT860 or something like that. And so it ended up bringing the price down with shipping and not charging any tax. It brought it down to, $37.
NADBF. I'm assuming that came from the slow boat then.
Sorry, did that go through? I said it took about a week.
No, I didn't get that, but that's not bad at all then. I'm still waiting for my AliExpress stuff. It made it to the States, and then it's been, stuck. I don't know where the hell it's at. And then I ordered another. I ordered that Port-A-Pack I told you because the traces got jacked up on my other one. And then while I was doing it, I might as well order this Trim UI Pro or whatever it was, one of those emulator handhelds. So, whoops.
Yeah, you might want to wait next week. I think they're going to release the Quancheng TK11 (8). Why it's TK11 (8), why the (8), I have no idea. But that one's basically going to be the same thing as this RT860, just with the Quancheng label. Uh-oh, the power went out.
That's not good.
W8EAP.
Eric?
Does that mean the hub's going to go down? I think the hub just went down.
I don't know. The power went out and he got that last transmission out. Don't you think it would have all went down?
Yeah, power went out over here. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I copied.
Alrighty, it came back on. That was an interesting one. I wonder if a car slid into a power pool.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I was literally telling my wife the other day, I feel like I should pull the generator out and just get it running and make sure everything's good.
There we go. We're back. Or at least me not having to do Statue of Liberty.
Eric, you making your way all right?
I already made it home a few minutes ago. I'm on the All-Star right now, so is that link still working?
Which link? I mean, the Who Cares hub is not, it's in Boston, so it wouldn't affect the power outage over here.
Okay, so I'm linked to the T.6. Okay, so it doesn't matter. All right, I was confused. So I'm on 2.6 right now. I just want to make sure. I think I'm on the right macro.
You are on 2.6.
Boy,
Boston. I'm on 075 RF.
KC8NDH.
Go ahead, KC8NDH.
WAEAP, what's going on, man?
Not much, just made it home. I'm talking on my All-Star node right now. I'm connected to my All-Star node, which is connected to the 2.6. How do I sound?
You're coming through loud and clear. hopefully I am, too. I'm on the same radio I was on last night.
Yeah, I'll have to come by and give you one of my many long high-gain antennas. I got like 30 of them. I'll get you some gain. You're using a stock rubber duck, I take it.
Yep, that's what I'm on, the stock rubber duck. I'm kind of by a window right now. I don't know if that helps.
That helps immensely. Yeah. Like I said, I got a million of these high-gain antennas. I can give you one. I got so many of them. A lot of them come with the radios. But, yeah, I've been buying this other one now. Lately, I've been switching over to this other one. So I got spares. I got plenty of spares. Which radio is that?
This is the UV88. I have yet to program my new golf end, which I'm looking to do this weekend. I'm kind of tied up tomorrow, though. But hopefully either later on tomorrow or Sunday I'll be able to get to that.
Yep, okay, cool. Yeah, I may have a updated file for you. You're talking about the 5RM, right?
Yep, that's the one. Yeah, I like those radios. They're pretty cool. Radios actually bigger than the UV88s and especially bigger than the UV5s.
Yeah, of course it's got aircraft on it and a lot bigger display. The UV88's a great radio. But it doesn't have too many bells and whistles on it. It doesn't have the frequency capture, frequency counter, aircraft, 220 and all that good stuff. And the 5RM is about almost double the output power. But almost double, not quite.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to trying that one out. I still actually have the UV5X3, which is a tri-band, but it's, similar in size to the standard UV5. So, not a huge battery on that, but still a nice radio, but nothing like the 5RMs.
Yeah. One last thing here. I'm going to let someone else wants to get in there. Some people on the road there. I want to make sure they're okay. But, I got to get that MD9600 from you, and I will make it do something. I will make it do things that you never dreamed possible just by changing the firmware on it. So, yeah, I'm going to stand by here for a second, and I don't know if Davian or Dakota's still out there driving.
Right on. I'll just be monitoring for a bit, so if you want to hit me up again in the next, whenever you're done with checking on everybody, that's pretty cool. But, yeah, I'll be out here for a little bit yet, so talk to you soon. KC8NDH out.
Dakota, still out there? Davian? Still out there, man, driving around. And I was slipping pretty good on my Jeep, and that's pretty rare. I think pretty sure-footed. So pretty slippery.
Yeah, I'm still out here. Yeah, it's getting pretty slick. No more snow, but almost home. But the ABS activates, like, every time I stop, so. Yeah, I'm going to get home, and I'm staying home. I'm not going out until tomorrow. ATSM.
Kind of disappointed my radio didn't come today.
Which one? The one I ordered? The 60? KATFM, I'm clear. Talk to you guys later.
Catch you later, Davian. Yeah. Sue picked up one of those Motor City frozen pizzas yesterday. She had a feeling that, I don't know, we wouldn't be getting jets, so it's great. I wouldn't want to go out tonight. I'm inside, too, so have yourself a good one. Hopefully you'll have some steaks or burgers or frozen pizza.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 31 degrees.
KCANDH. You still out there? WAEAP.
Yep, I am still here. Leave that one.
Yeah, I got a bunch of phone calls and a bunch of stuff going on. But I forgot to ask you, on those 5RMs, was there a long, like a 16-inch or 15-inch antenna wound up inside the box? So I know these, some, depending on where you ordered them from, some are 5RM, some are AR-5RM. Some of them, you know, like I said, depending on the vendor, sometimes they include that 771 15-inch antenna. But it would be, like, wound up inside the box. You're like, oh, here's the radio, where's the antenna? And you open the box, and it's like, wow, it's all, like, wound up inside the box. And you take it out, and it's all bent, but then you can just bend it back.
Yeah, you know, there in fact was two antenna box with the two radios, and they were kind of wound up in there, but, you know, when I pulled them out, they straightened right up, so no issue there. but, yeah, all good.
So it came with two antennas, one about 7 inches long and one about 15, right? Each radio had two antennas, or just came with the long one?
Nope, it came with two. Two short ones and two long ones, because, you know, it was all packed into one box. You know, two radios, four antennas.
I guess you're all set. The only problem is, the antenna threads on your UV88 are the opposite of the both ends. I don't know if you probably already knew that. But so no, I was going to say grab one of those longer antennas, stick it on your radio, but they're the wrong thread. One's a male, one's a female.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not going to work. That feels wrong. like you say, if you got spare ones, that's pretty cool. If you want to give me one of those, that'd be great. But, aside from that, my 9600, you know, I was thinking maybe we could have you and Sue over for dinner and hang out for a bit.
some weekend and you don't go up north, and we can mess around with the radios.
Well, this is homemade lasagna, some garlic bread to go with it.
Yeah, there you go. yeah, lasagna's good, man. Yeah, we can do that, something like that, or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm good with most food, but, man, certain things I will not eat. So, there you go.
Yep. Actually, I have some extra antennas that are the correct gender for your radio. I have several of both. And I try them out, you know, and I wait till they go on sale. And some are a little bit better on UHF, some might be a little bit better on VHF. I mean, they're all really, really close. But they're all... Every one of them is better than the stock antenna. So, yeah, but I think I have at least one of the long antennas for that radio, for your radio there, the UV88.
Right on. Sounds good. yeah, I'm still kind of kicking around some other radio we were looking at a while back. Probably won't get it anytime soon, but, you know, just kind of out there. Maybe at some point if I want to pick it up. I can't think of the brand and everything, but I think we missed before.
WADAP. Well, if it's been 6-7 months a year ago, then there's like a whole slew of new ones. I got a whole closet full of them, about 30 of them. Until 490 or the 890 or the latest one, the 860. I haven't gotten that one yet. That one's got a legitimate shortwave receiver built into it, and not just a firmware hack. I mean, it has an actual separate, actual shortwave radio chip in it. I don't know how good the rest of the radio is. I think the rest of the radio is pretty good, too, but I haven't got it yet. Dave got his, and he seems to like it.
That's cool. I don't suppose you can talk on it. You might need a... special kind of antenna for that, but I don't know. Can you confirm that? Just a receiver or a transmitter too for shortwave?
No, it's just a receiver. But I think they did come out with one that actually transmits too. Probably only a couple 3 watts maybe. But, of course, it's the Quancheng UVK5. Everybody's got to have those, and of course you need a. The TID radio H3, and those are must-have radios, and I don't think I've went over those, but I can bring my, I'll bring a duffel bag full of radios, and you gotta remember, no radio is perfect, but some radios, you know, are really good at one thing, and not so good at another, and, you know, some radios you want them to be high power, some radios you want them to be programmable for extremely low power for like all-star use, and there's a group of radios that can do that, so it all depends on what you're going to do, but you can't go wrong. They're all good, but none of them are perfect.
Of course, like a lot of other things out there. You know, in that case, I would need, you know, like $3 million in stereo rooms and stereo gear to listen to all the different kinds of music. yeah, you know, some systems are better at certain music than others, and some are good all around, so, you know, yep, just like anything else.
The radio I'm talking on now, it has upgraded firmware, I'll put it that way, and the H3 is really good for that.
one of its strong points is that you can adjust your power down. Right now I'm running about 100 milliwatts, if not 50 milliwatts. It's hard to tell because like my watt meter doesn't go down that far. But I'm using this radio extremely low power just to talk into my node, which is across the room. But it'll go about, I don't know, it'll probably go a couple blocks. If I were to walk a few blocks down the road, it would still work. But no use transmitting 5 watts if you're just talking across the room like I am right now.
Yeah, nice. Hey, if you have a new radio file for the 5RM, if you wouldn't mind sending that over, that'd be great. And, I was going to ask you something else and I forgot. But anyway, that would be cool if you could do that. You have a new file since the last one, KC8NDH.
That's another thing, you know. Some of the radios I got are so new that they're not chirp compatible. But it doesn't matter because I put like 5 repeaters in from down here, 5 for up north. My All-Star node frequencies, and most of those have automatic weather search. You don't got to put the weather band in there. So yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, when I say that some radios are advantages over others, but some of the newer ones are not chip compatible, and some of the new ones put out too much power. Like I got one radio that's like 4 watts on low power. So, you know, sometimes you don't want 4 watts, but you know, a lot of the radios with the upgraded firmware, you can turn them down. So I have like 4 radios that I have that you can turn down to like under 100 milliwatts. I use those for talking into the All-Star node.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, keeping the radio's power down that much. You know, if you can do that, that's awesome. I know what I was going to say. I need to get a couple more high-capacity batteries for these UV88s, but some standard capacities. They're kind of by the wayside at this point. You know, if you keep them on the radios, it drains them, and then, you know, then they sit on empty for too long, and then you can't recharge them anymore after so many times.
Right. Well, you know what? That's one of the good things about the UV88 is because it shares the same, it's basically the same as a radiodity DB30? No. Anyhow, there's a radiodity radio, TMRS radio, it's the same one. The Redivis RT85 is the same radio, so there's multiple radios. I have like 3 or 4 different radios in my collection, and they're all the same chassis, take the same battery, but luckily, yes, you can get high-capacity batteries for that radio. That's one thing. You know, it's been out a few years now, so there's all kinds of batteries available. You want the ones with the USB-C charging port on them, too.
Yeah, that's a good thing, that USB-C, you know, kind of eliminates the need for a base, and... you know, I'm kind of phasing out all my micro USB stuff at this point because there's really, you know, no need to have it anymore. It's pretty dated at this point.
Yeah, most radios that are, most radios that do have a USB charging port on the battery will be USB-C. I think I only have one radio. Yeah, I have one radio that recharges with regular micro. All the rest are USB-C.
Right on. Yeah, you know, the batteries that came with the 5RMs have USB charging ports in them.
Yep, of course they do. Yeah, I did a lot of reviews on YouTube, and that one's about the best bang for the buck. I mean, it's over 8 watts, 8 to 10 watts, aircraft 220. I mean, then you can get them for like under 30 bucks. It's just crazy. Crazy talk. I think I got one for $21 the other day, and it came with the long antenna. And the thing that made me mad is I gave one to my brother for his birthday last year, and he, Thanksgiving dinner, one of the relatives came over, and he said, "Oh, that's cool, you know. Well, let me know where I can get one of those." And my brother just gave him he just gave the person the radio. I'm like, "Hey, I guess I'll give my radios away." I was kind of pissed at him for a while.
That's funny. Oh, man. I'm seeing batteries, ones for the Rikavis RT85, 3,200 milliamps, 3,200 milliamp hour large battery. And then same thing, that one was $13, and then you can get two of them for $22. Same thing, 3,200 milliamp hours.
Well, make sure they're USB-C chargeable. The other radio, you want to look for batteries for a Radiodity GM30. Radiodity GM30. Those are the first, like, all of my batteries I ordered were actually, you know, I ordered them under that name. I think the RT85s are even out yet, but yeah, if you can get them for that price and have USB-C, then I'd say go for it, because then you'd be able to use them on, if you ever got any RT85s. There's a list. I think there's like 6 radios take the same battery, same radio. I don't have them memorized at the top of my head, but I know those 3 radios are the same.
Right on. Yeah, it doesn't look like these batteries are USB-C chargeable. I'm not seeing anything like that in the description here. And these seem to be the only ones they really have, actually. So yeah, I'm not sure about that. Might have to get them somewhere else.
Let me take a quick look. Hey, I sent you a text. Take a look at the size range of my radios. The one all the way on the right is basically a 5RM. But in a ridiculously large case with a ridiculous, it's got like a 7,200 milliamp hour battery.
That's crazy. That sucker got to be huge. did you happen to say the Radiodity GM30 earlier? KC8NDH.
W8EAP. Yeah, I see the one, a 2200. That's USB-C for $15, $15.99. I see that, but I don't see I see a lot of 2200s, and none of them are USB-C. I know I do have a 3200 to see. I just don't remember where I got it.
Yeah. You know, I was checking Amazon. The ones that are on there don't say they're USB-C, but I mean, I have the bases, just USB-C is more convenient because I don't have to pull the bases out and all that, but if you happen to come across where you got those, that would be great. KC8NDH. Back in 2 minutes, KC8NDH. W8EAP from KC8NDH.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just still looking up stuff. All I can see is just the standard 1800 milliamp hours with the USB-C on them. I don't see any of the hype. I know they do make them because actually when I bought my radio, like a month later, some of the UV88 started coming from the factory with USB-C charging battery. So I called the, or I didn't call them, but I sent a email or whatever through Amazon message to the seller and say, hey, you know, how can I get some of those batteries? Well, for free, or I should say, for free of charge, pun intended, he sent me a couple of 2200 milliamp hour batteries with USB-C on them. And he didn't charge me for them because I bought like four radios off him. So then he had them listed on eBay. He has a listing on eBay and Amazon, and I told some friends, and some friends bought batteries. I think they're like $13 a piece, but they're 2200. They're slightly bigger. I don't think they're 30s. I think they're 22. But anyhow, they do make them.
Yeah, man, the 32s would be great. I think what I have now is 22s. And I'm not sure if I got just one or if I had two. I'm pretty sure it's just the one. Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting a couple of those 32s. I mean, even if I have to charge them off the base, you know, it's not quite as convenient, but it works. Hey, did you say that the Radiodity GM30 uses the same batteries?
Yeah, that's what I said, the Radiodity GM30 85, or the UV88. Or, if you, I haven't looked at, but if you look up TYT UV98, which is the 10-watt version of your radio, that came stock with a 3200, I believe.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't catch that model number for the, I think, did you say 98? The GM30 batteries I'm seeing here are, they seem to be all 1800 milliamp hours.
I'm looking at one right here, GM30 battery, 2200, fits the P15 UV, UV88, RT85. Oh, another one too is a GM15 Pro. There's also, that's a Bofang. GM15 Pro also is the same radio as that. So, $1,599. And that's a 2200, which is a little bit, you know, slightly more. But it's got the USB on the bottom.
Huh, okay. Yeah, if you could send me a link to that, that'd be great. I'd like to get the 3200 if I can. Just, you know, some smaller batteries, just, I don't know, man, kind of not even worth it, you know, like the 1500s, 1800s. Yeah, 22 plus is great, but 32 would be awesome.
I found it for you. RT85 3200s, two of them for $22. $21.99 for two. No USB on it, but man, that's a good price. A little over like $11 each. $11 each.
Yeah, I'm seeing that here. RT85, 3200 milliamp hours, no USB, $22. Yep, that's a good deal there.
Yeah, so I just remembered. So
I have the GM30, I have the UB88, the RT85, and I have the Bolfang TPU8, which is also the same as a P15UV. I don't know, it's weird because there's Bolfang and there's Polfang. They had a special on them. They're basically UB88s, and they're $2 for $30. $2 for $30, and they came with a long antenna. So we all bought them, and they came in like orange too. They came in orange. So some of us bought orange ones, some of us bought black ones, and we kind of switched. But yep. So I have four radios. So I got a bunch of those batteries.
Yeah, it's a good deal there. I was thinking about getting a couple more for my RM5s too. Yeah, that's a pretty nice radio. I can't believe it, man. I remember I got my ICOM. That was my first handheld back in, gosh, I want to say 1999. And that sucker was like, I want to say it was around $350 or something like that. Now you can get radios that are like probably way better, although they're not super heterodyne, but they have other technologies in place these days too. And you can get radios for $20 now.
I bet you Hamas thought those Yaesu walkie-talkies were a good deal until they blew up. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. But that was interesting. It took 10 years for that whole scenario to play out, and it's an interesting story. I mean, you're not going to hear about it for probably several years, but they had kind of a documentary about it, like a mini documentary about it there a few weeks ago. But it was very interesting.
I am sure it is. I'm sure there's lots of stories like that out there about, gosh, yeah, just about anything, really. But, yeah. You know, the other thing is, back in those days, I believe they used nickel metal hydride batteries because lithium ion was not yet a thing. And, I mean, they were decent, but really no comparison to lithium ion these days.
Yeah, around Amazon Prime Day, they had the RT85s, which are UV88s, slightly newer version. They had them on sale for $30 for two. We're like, wow, that's great. And then I think it was Sean got out there and says, no, there's a $10 coupon. It's $20 for two. And I'm like, oh, game on. So y'all bought like six or seven pairs of these. I ended up giving away few of them, sold a few, and then I went to go look for the ones. I go, yeah, I got one pair left. I couldn't find them anywhere. You probably heard that funny story. I was like asking everybody, it's like, did I ever give you or sell you a pair of RT85s? They're like, no. I couldn't find those things anywhere. Anyhow, they ended up being in the trunk of my Challenger. I remember I had a pair up north, and I was going to bring them home, and I did. I threw it in the duffel bag. It must have fell out of the duffel bag and went into the, I mean, it's got a huge trunk. It went into, like, the corner of the trunk. I didn't even see it. And about 2 months later, I went to go put something in the trunk, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's my radios that I couldn't find. So that was funny. I was bummed out. I'm like, well, I can't be too bummed out. It was only $20, but still.
Yes, you did tell me that story. That is pretty funny. But, yeah. Yeah, if I get any more radios, I'm going to have to get another ammo box.
I got about 8 of them up north, and I got about 25, you know, 20-something down here. And, I got to give my brother's birthday today, so I'm going to see him tomorrow. Give him another one of those radios. Hopefully he won't, you know. Don't give it away. Don't give it away. 5RM. Can you believe that? Gave away a 5RM.
Man, what were you thinking? Just kidding. Oh, I got to take care of your brother, right? I wish him a happy birthday from a total stranger. Yeah, you know, you might want to consider putting your radios in metal ammo boxes. Just for the hell of it, you know?
Oh, I do. I got some of them in boxes, with ammo cases, some of them in Pelicans, some of them, like, by the nightstand. I got, like a tall, I don't even know how to explain it. I'll just send you a picture, but it's like a tall dresser that's like built into the side of the, on either side of the bed. And I got like two shelves filled with radios. Collecting shortwave radios too. Anyhow, it's about dinner time. It's almost 8 o'clock. And yeah, we're going to get something to eat here. But definitely nice talking to you. Yeah, order those batteries, if you would. And I'll send you another picture of some other radios. Anywho, nice talking to you, man. And I'm glad you can make it in that repeater pretty good. WAEAB.
Yeah, nice talking to you too, bud. Yeah, we'll have to do this again, but have a nice dinner. Say hi to Sue for us, and we will talk to you soon. KC8MBH out.
KF8BWP, KF8BWP, this is KE8ORD.
Good evening, 20, 100 hours. Mostly clear. 31 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours, partly cloudy, 29 degrees.
W8FU.
Good evening, 22 hours. Mostly clear. 27 degrees. Good evening. 23 hours. Mostly clear. 27 degrees.
Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Kilo Echo 8 Zulu uniform.